We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and get our view from the middle. The columnist for USA Today, you can find his work in the red section of the publication online at usatoday.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. George, always appreciate you leading off our Wednesday. How are things with you?
Things are good, man. It's like 85 degrees. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona, and couldn't be happier.
So what's the event? What kind of meetings are taking place? And is anything happening that, you know, fans or maybe listeners of a sports radio program might find interesting?
Well, that's a two-part question. So let's start with this. The Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, Mountain West, MAC, and I think the Sun Belt, all met. I always get that last one. But the Sun Belt, yes, all met this week in and around the same hotel in Scottsdale for their annual spring conference meetings. And so it's for someone like me and some of my colleagues, it's a little bit like shooting fish in a barrel in terms of football coaches and athletic directors mainly. And in some cases, some of the leagues bring their used to bring their basketball coaches, but they've changed the recruiting calendar for the NCAA, which has sort of meant that the men's and women's hoops coaches are no longer here. They have their meeting separate at a separate time. But so basically you've got athletic directors, commissioners, and football coaches running around here, and you can talk to them all. So I saw Mario Cristobal a couple days ago. The Pac-12 coaches have already been in and out. All these meetings sort of overlap. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of the Big 12 coaches in the last couple of days. I talked to Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach. I did get a chance to talk to Chip Kelly. It's a treasure trove of access, which is why USA Today wants to come here. It's why, you know, CBSSports.com and ESPN.com and Sports Illustrated want to come here. James Krepia from the Oregonian is here.
Yep.
Covers Oregon. So that's, you know, good news for Duck fans. It really makes a ton of sense to sort of show up and do this. Now, the second part of your question, not a lot of really tangible things have happened to this point. Now, the Pac-12 meeting is still ongoing. They're supposed to wrap up, here in about an hour or so. And it's always possible they could announce a couple of little things, but there's nothing giant going on. Two or three years ago here, it was a big, big deal because the Big 12 was talking about whether or not to expand. And so sometimes, some years out here, it's more feisty than other years, right? But there's always an opportunity to get stories done and do some FaceTime with people, and that's why I'm here.
You know, even though you mentioned the basketball folks are not there because of an alteration in the schedule, even though it's taking place in New York, Arizona kind of prominent with this whole trial taking place, you know, kind of a bombshell today with the wiretap and Sean Miller, allegedly paying DeAndre Ayton $10,000 a month. I mean, you've got a lot of folks there who are wired into college. I mean, what's the buzz? Is this being discussed among you and your colleagues?
Absolutely. Let me just say this. I have not spoken with Dave Hickey, the athletic director at Arizona, but I have seen him go by me with the phone pressed to his ear two or three times talking.
Sure.
And that could either have been the old phone pressed to the ear because I'm not talking move, and it makes it look like you're talking, or it could have been a lot of high-level conversations that are having to go on. And I think it's probably a little of both. We're going to see what happens with Sean Miller, especially, obviously, closer to home in the Pac-12, but also with Will Wade at LSU. It's been a bad week for him. All of them are just allegations. But the one you're talking about this today, where it's a wiretap of an at-the-time current Arizona assistant telling people that his head coach was sort of personally the guy involved in paying $8,000 and $10,000 a month, is pretty damning testimony. That's a pretty big bad deal. And that's before we ever talk about sort of the preponderance of all the other things that have sort of been swirling around there, and the fact that there are two assistants or two former assistants now who've been, you know, arrested in, you know, connection with this deal from Arizona. I think, you know, famous last words, and we might have thought this a year ago too, but it certainly feels like the Sean Miller days are numbered at Arizona.
Yeah, that would, and you know, we've known Dave Hickey for more than 20 years from the time.
Absolutely.
The great work he did here, and I'm sure
he inherited this situation.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
I was going to say that.
So.
Yeah, by the way, I do like the ear to the phone fake out trick in case I need that. But that would only be if I didn't want to deal with my kids or my wife or something. It's not real high level stuff.
Let me tell you, I would never do this to you guys ever, obviously. But let me tell you, I have actually had to do that a couple times. Let me tell you where it is. I am not in demand to where that is ever an issue, except at SEC Media Days, when you have to walk through Radio Row in order to get somewhere,
right?
And not everybody, obviously, it's not like a bunch of people know who I am, but a few people know, oh, that's George, he works for USA Today, we've had him on the air before. If you don't have your phone pressed to your ear, the guy who's sitting there who's not on the air, who's sort of the catcher to get people, is going to try to stop you. And so I am sympathetic when I see coaches or athletic directors do that to me. I chuckle a little bit, but I think, okay, I've done that too.
All right. It takes one to know one. Talking with George Schroeder of USA Today, I know I obsess over this, but I saw it again, and you know, talking about the College Football Selection Committee, powers that be. So the word came out again, they're not even discussing an expansion or change in the way the college football
right.
playoff is put together. But you personally, you have 33,000 Twitter followers. You meet with colleagues. You mentioned you do radio shows. If you took a consensus of the people in your orbit, what do you think their preference would be? Stick, expand, or other?
I think probably 8, with the 5 Power 5 conference champions being automatic qualifiers, regardless of whether it's a 4-loss champion or not. And then probably 2 at-larges with maybe a possibility of a 3rd if a group of 5 champion didn't meet some sort of arbitrary rankings criteria from the selection committee, which would still be necessary because you'd still have to seed things, right?
Right.
So if the best group of 5 team, the best group of 5 champion in a given year, say, didn't rank in the top 12 or something like that, then you would have 3 at-larges available. If they did rank in the top 12, you'd only have 2 at-larges available in the 8. That would be sort of that's probably the preferred model of most people, and everybody's kind of got a slight tweak to that.
I see. I would figure that too, most people in my orbit. That's why I get yelled at a lot. One general question, football, kind of combining college and the NFL, the draft last week, and we know Kyler Murray went first, and he's going to play at Arizona with the new coach, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I found him to be electrifying. That style that Kingsbury plays seems to fit him to a T. So my angle is, as a fan, how could you not be completely intrigued to see how this plays out? You know, the fan in you, how curious are you to see this combination go to work at the next level?
Oh, fantastically. Listen, I think he's going to be really good, but here, there's a couple things at play here, including the fact that Arizona's offensive line was terrible last year. And at the college level, Oklahoma's offensive line was really good. So you, on the one hand, you had something that set up pretty well for a guy when he was in college, and now you've got sort of a could he be running for his life in the NFL. But I am intrigued to see what somebody who wants to run the full-on, the whatever the NFL version of the full-on air raid is, because we really haven't seen that. And we talk about Sean McVay, we talk about this, that, and the other, but we really have not seen it quite that way to this point.
No, there is no chance I'm missing any of their games, especially early on when he's playing.
Agreed. And I do think, listen, I think he can make every single throw. Having seen him throw the ball, I think he's very, very accurate. And I think, you know, it's only after that you actually begin to go and look how fast he is when he puts the ball in his hands and decides to take off. It's only after that. And here's the other thing most people don't know unless you really watch him. Most of his throws came from in the pocket,
yep,
behind those 6'4", 6'5" NFL. By the way, 4 of those guys were drafted. The 5th is the best one, and he's back for next year at Oklahoma. Behind that NFL future line, he threw the ball from the pocket at 5'10" and a quarter. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing what, you know, what he does, and I think he's going to be really good. I guess you never know until somebody gets in there.
No, I think it's intriguing. A couple final thoughts for George Schroeder of USA Today. I want to get to what you did this past weekend. The Eugene Marathon was here in town. You ran a half marathon in the Oklahoma City Memorial, and we always hear great stories of why people run, but what you ran, and it's called the Race to Remember, and as we approach the 25th anniversary of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building, I'd imagine that was a pretty powerful event to be a part of.
Well, it is, and I went to their first one, which was back in 2001, and ran the full marathon, and so, and I've run it two or three times, but I think I'm at a point now where I'm only half crazy, so I'm going to run the half marathon, and I'm joking, but man, it doesn't take nearly investment in terms of training and miles and potential, and then the hardness of the actual day itself to run a half. But it was started as a way to remember back, I guess, in 2001 when it was only 6 years after the bombing. And it has, they've done a really good job of maintaining the purpose and the memory and the reason for it. One of the things I thought was really neat is there's a section on the course. First of all, you start right at the memorial, which is the site of the former building. And they now have a section on the course. I guess it's in the 11th or 12th mile, so that you're still, I mean, at a certain point, the marathoners diverge from the half marathoners, but this is where you're still both running it, where they have lined down this beautiful residential street on light poles, photos and names on banners of every single one of the 168 victims who died in the Murrah Federal Building bombing. And it is, I have to be honest with you, when you're running at that point, you don't think about it a ton, but it really is powerful.
I wonder, that's just having been to the memorial at Ground Zero in NYC, that stuff just gets to me. I want to wrap with some NBA playoffs. When the Clippers pushed the Warriors a bit last round, I thought, maybe Houston can offer a challenge. We know Golden State won the first two. Durant's playing out of his mind. So your thought process when the playoffs started to what you've observed these first 2.5 weeks, has your belief that Golden State is en route to a three-peat been enhanced, dipped, or stayed the same?
It dipped, and now it's been kind of enhanced again. And when they lost to the Clippers, you're like, oh boy. And then, you know, I'm not sure I was really greatly encouraged by the way they won the first game, just because I thought it's like you're at home and it was a tight type of situation. But having won both games at home, I think we're now at a point where, look, I think Houston will get a game and maybe even two, who knows, when they get it back to Houston. But I do think this, I think it's pretty clear that I don't think the Warriors are going to lose the home court advantage, so I think they'll go ahead and win it. So I'm back on board with the idea that with Draymond Green apparently playing better, with KD playing at a very high level for most of the time, I'm back on board with the idea that they're just too good to get beaten. Now, I do think this, I think they've got chemistry issues and everything else, but that's the kind of thing that once you get to the playoffs, you can sometimes set that aside for a while, and I think we're starting to see that.
Yeah, and I think having a level-headed coach like Kerr also helps.
No question.
Folks, he is George Schroeder, fine columnist for USA Today, usatoday.com online. On Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, I know you've been busy. I appreciate you finding some time. You enjoy the heat in Arizona and travel safe back to your home in Norman. And we look forward to chatting again next week.
Yeah, hey, thank you very much.
All right, have a good one, George.